Show on UK Health Radio. I'm Robin Daly, regular host for the show and founder of Yes to Life, the UK integrative cancer care charity helping people with cancer learn about all the ways they can help themselves back to a healthy and meaningful life. My guest this week has been on the show a couple of times before, and she has decades of experience supporting people with cancer, learning about what people need to help them through what is usually the most difficult circumstance they've ever faced. Nadia Bryden is a herbalist, a naturopath, and an expert in a host of other disciplines, and she's talking to me today from her retreat home in the Welsh Hills. Hi Nadia, lovely to have you back on the show again.
Hi Robin, thank you very much for asking me. It's really lovely to see you again.
So you're someone with an enormous breadth and depth of experience in supporting people with cancer, as well as other chronic conditions, and in a huge variety of ways. A few years back, I think it was kind of mid-pandemic, if I remember right, that you deserted London for the Hills of Wales.
I did.
Where you set up a retreat for people to get onto a healing track. And again, this is a situation in which you can bring in so much of your experience, your understanding of what people need and what actually works. The conversation at the moment in integrative medicine is moving very much towards the mental, emotional, and spiritual aspects of illness and recovery. And there's a rapidly growing recognition of the fact that these aspects are a lot more important than most people would appreciate. Today, I want to explore something I think you probably have as deep an appreciation of as anybody, and plenty to say about it probably as well, and that's addressing people in a truly holistic manner, one that encompasses that we're not a whole collection of separate aspects, we're one being, and so physical interventions can affect our psychology and our spirit every bit as much as the less tangible strategies can affect our biology. So would you tell us how you see things and how you approach giving the support that you feel people facing the threat of cancer really need?
So stress is probably the biggest factor in triggering any disease, whether it's cancer or cough or cold or anything. I think stress depresses the immune system, activates cortisol, which is the stress hormone, and that is really a massive trigger, really, particularly, I think, as well in cancer. In my experience, in my own personal experience, and also in the experience that I have working for 20 years with Breast Cancer Haven. And, working for Breast Cancer Haven for 20 years up until COVID, I would honestly say that 99.9% of all of my clients, we call them actually visitors at Breast Cancer Haven, where I supported women. Breast Cancer Haven supported women and men, actually, following the diagnosis of breast cancer. And we offered lots of complementary therapies, such as reflexology and nutrition and acupuncture, herbal medicine, emotional freedom technique, and also with meditation and mindfulness meditation, particularly, and things like that. So in my experience of working for 20 years with them, 99.9% of the clients who I saw had some kind of massive stress 18 months prior to their diagnosis. And it could be either a bereavement, it could have been a trauma, a betrayal, a long-term stress can be from many different sources. And in my own particular case, because I think you know that I was diagnosed with cervical cancer when I was 33.
Yes.
Gosh knows, 35, 40 years ago. I can't remember. So long ago, I can't remember. And 18 months prior to my diagnosis, I did have a massive stress in my life. But the thing is, it was a culmination of, in my particular case, not having a very good diet, smoking, drinking,
right.
Living in London in a stressful environment, having a stressful job and things like that. So, and the interesting thing is in Breast Cancer Haven, I would get clients who would say, but I've been eating a really healthy diet. So why have I got cancer? you know, I would help that person to sort of look at what stresses they have in their life. And I think it is really important. But it's looking at, you know, what is causing stress in our life. And there are three main stressors. And it's really about looking at what the stress is in our life and how we can resolve it, looking at different solutions, how we can help ourselves. Now, we all have stress in our life, but it's how we respond to stress. And, you know, first of all, because nutrition is my passion, I like to look at people's diet. What are they putting into their bodies? Are they not putting in the minerals and the micronutrients that they need to help their bodies to overcome stress? And the most important one is magnesium. And magnesium is in every green vegetable, and people are not eating enough green vegetables. It is the mineral that is in the middle of the molecule of chlorophyll. And if we are not eating enough, you know, salads, fruits, vegetables, and taking in enough magnesium, because magnesium is nature's tranquilizer. It is, it's nature's muscle relaxant. It's the thing that regulates the heart. So, you know, if we don't have enough magnesium, it also helps for sleep. So when we're stressed, we often are not sleeping very well. And there's lots of different reasons for that. But very often, particularly with, you know, when you have the diagnosis of cancer, you are being stressed by the diagnosis itself, regardless of the stressors that, you know, we've got in our life. And so I think it's important. And I'm not a great supplement person. I'm not somebody who says, oh, well, take this supplement or that pill or the other pill.
Right.
Because I think that that's bypassing the proper solution, which is really to get one's life in proper order and to
right.
and to get one's diet in order, to eat healthily, you know, to eat fresh foods, to understand that, you know, that magnesium, you know, is such a very important factor. It's nature's tranquilizer, it's nature's Valium. Yes, you can add in magnesium, and certainly things like Epsom salt baths, which is magnesium, helps to relax the muscles, helps to take pain away. And so it is really important, I think, to understand how to eat healthily. And then there's herbs, you know, and I absolutely love to have, you know, herbs as being another solution. And things to help for sleep, such as valerian. I absolutely love skullcap, for instance. The skullcap treats stress and sleep and anything to do with emotions. And I would often recommend skullcap. But also you've got things like passiflora, which is really, really helps to sort of calm the mind and calm anxiety. And they're really important. It is also important to recognize that there are contraindications for taking herbs. Like Vincent St. John's wort is a very, very good herb for calming the mind, but that is not a herb that one can take with certain medications like SSRIs, like antidepressants and things like that. So it's always probably a good idea to go and see a herbalist. But those are kind of examples that, you know, there are no side effects from them, you know, rather than taking an antidepressant, which it can be quite addictive. It's not the long-term solution. Maybe it's good in a short-term solution. But again, you know, I'm a real fan of trying to address things as naturally as possible. And in a way, you know, I've moved up to Wales, as you know, and you've been here. And the whole idea is for people to come to a healing environment where there are no cars, where the water is from a spring, where, you know, the only neighbors you've got are the sort of birds and animals and foxes and sheep. And it's about reconnecting with nature. And there's lots of beautiful walks up here and just, you know, grounding, you know, with bare feet on the grass. And I mean, if you're living in a city and you haven't got a garden, that's not very easy. Because that's really important, you know, as an anti-distressor. But so So, and then, so then you've got the sort of the stressful aspect of it. But, you know, stress can go back to one's childhood. We can be triggered by things in our childhood, and those need to be addressed. And I think, you know, I think when you've got cancer, it's important to get a team around you because you need support. It's really difficult, I think, to do anything on one's own. You know, if you go to a doctor's appointment, it's especially to do with cancer, you'd go with a companion, you'd go with a husband, child, a friend, you know, just a support. And that is a fundamental thing that really people need when they're going through the diagnosis of a cancer is to have that support. And that's very much what we did at Breast Cancer Hayden. Very sadly, it didn't survive COVID, which a lot of charities didn't. And we offered a lot of support. But as I said, with this team of people, there are various people who specialize in, you know, for trauma, for stress. And I worked with wonderful people at Breast Cancer Haven, Gosha Gorner, for instance. And she specializes in, you know, helping people to transform their lives through stress and emotional issues, not just with cancer, but with anything. And she's got a wonderful website, and she does, group things. And that's Gosia Gorna, Gorna. And she has a website. You can look her up. And the other person who I'm sure you know of is Fiona Shakita Burns. And she very much specializes in emotional aspects of going through cancer diagnosis. And Fiona Shakita Burns has a website called Nature Works. And I really recommend, you know, for emotional issues and emotional support and trauma is Fiona and both Gosha. So,
right. Thanks. Yeah. Well, look, two very striking things about what you've just been saying. One is, well, your figure, your percentage you gave of the people who came to you for support who you felt had had a significant trauma within a period before diagnosis wasn't quite a lot. It was all pretty much.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That is quite something to say there. I mean, I often read that, there's a significant percentage of people have had that. But anyway, your experience was that everybody had, really. The other thing from what you said is that, well, very much on the topic that I brought up, we were talking about stress. You were addressing the topic of stress, but actually you came up with quite a lot of practical physical approaches to doing something about that, which is rather than compartmentalizing people into, you know, the spiritual, the physical, and so on, and dealing with them separately, you're actually coming up with physical solutions for mental issues. Yeah, and I think this is the kind of holistic thinking that's very much needed these days.
Mm.
Is that yes, you can go at a psychological issue with classically psychological type of support strategies, but also there are physical ones as well. And we shouldn't ignore and say, well, you stick to one of these. With cancer, we need to do everything. And so we need to think in a very rounded way about all the things that could be helpful, which somebody like you with so much experience is good at, because you've actually seen what can help people.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
The other thing that I didn't kind of mention, which I think is important to mention, is meditation, mindfulness meditation, particularly.
Right.
And, you know, at Breast Cancer Haven, we were really blessed to have Dr. Caroline Hoffman, who did a PhD in mindfulness meditation for women with breast cancer. But, you know, whether it's breast cancer or any other kind of cancer, she runs amazing courses online and I think in person as well. And she specializes in cancer. And she used to be a nurse and was director of research at Breast Cancer Haven and has incredible knowledge and experience. And I would also really recommend her. As well, because I think it's important as well to go to people who have had experience and, you know, really know their subject really well and have worked for many, many years, you know, in that thing and specialize, you know, seeing people who specialize in things. But, you know, there are other things that one can do online, which I also recommend massively, is Chris Walk, who does, who's got the Square One program. I cannot recommend that more highly. Basically, he has created an online course, which is really inexpensive. Plus, he's got books and tapes and interviews and things like that, that online that you can see, and so helpful. And also, he has a support group. So Chris Walk, which is W-A-R-K, and he has a program called the Square One, online program. But if you go onto his website, I think it's chriswalk.com, actually. And he's got this amazing program. And he takes you through 9 different hour-long videos and basically talking to you on each different subject. But, you know, because the thing is about healing from cancer, whether one chooses to go the complementary route or the alternative route or the conventional route, it doesn't really matter because you can do all of these things alongside. Because when you go along the conventional route, in a way that the healing is kind of taken away from you. So if you can do something alongside that to help empower yourself, you know, like meditation, like sort of looking at your nutrition, alongside chemotherapy, radiotherapy, and surgery, I think it's really important that you don't just hand over everything to somebody else, whether it's, you know, your surgeon or doctor or dentist or lawyer or whatever. I think it's important to have a measure of control. You know, and on that note, you know, you've got the wonderful Dr. Kelly Turner, who has created a program called Radical Remission. And she looks again at 9 different aspects, and she looked at 1,000 people who had healed themselves from cancer, and she wanted to find out what was the common denominator. Was there a common denominator? And she found that there were 9 things. And in fact, I'm holding her book in my hands as I talk to you, and her book Radical Remission has got, you know, 9 different chapters addressing each of those 9 things. So she found in her research of those 1,000 people who'd healed themselves from every grade of cancer that there were 9 things that everybody had done. And I can honestly say the 9 things that are in her book, I did. you know, 35 years ago, but she wrote her book 20 years ago. But
right.
I'll give you the different chapters, which I think are very, very important. So one is radically changing your diet. It's really addressing and looking at your diet and looking at what is a healthy diet. And you see, the other thing is, I think as well, is whatever you focus on will grow. So if you focus on, I must kill cancer, I must kill cancer, is not really the right message you're giving your body. What the message should be is, what can I do? What can I eat? What can I do? How can I be to be as healthy as I can? Try not to focus on the word cancer. Let the doctors do that or whatever, but focus on, what can I do to be the best that I can be? So radically changing your diet really is putting it into a more plant-based diet, looking at, you know, taking out those ultra-processed foods, taking out things that are going to be, you know, aggravating, like red meat and, you know, dairy products and alcohol. So her first chapter is radically changing your diet. Then it's to taking control of your health. And it's really, you know, making your own decisions about what is right for you and listening to yourself. And on that note is three, following your intuition. We know that animals, when they're sick, that they know what to eat. So the thing is if you're doing things like meditation, you're connecting a lot more with your intuition. Because I also say that, you know, addressing, if you like, a spiritual connection, because we are mind, body, spirit. And so addressing the spiritual part of our lives is looking at, you know, is there a God? Is there a power greater than ourselves? A creator, it could be nature, it could be whatever, but it's looking at prayer, I think, is incredibly important. If you don't actually have a religion, it doesn't matter, but having a spiritual connection to something that is greater than ourselves, I think, is very fundamental. And in that, one can, you know, use prayer. And so I always say, well, prayer is asking God for help, and meditation is quietening your mind, listening to the answer. So therefore, your intuition can start developing in that meditation process, when you've got a quiet mind, because meditation is about learning to live in the present moment. It's about not living in the past, not living in the future. And people can say to me, oh, but I've never been able to do meditation. And I say, well, it's not about not being able to do it, but it's like, you can't run a marathon without practicing. So you practice meditation, you never necessarily get there. In the hopes that, you know, if you practice enough, you will get there, but you don't have to get there. It's about addressing your mind, because when we are trying to sleep, we might be churning over in our head, you know, about the washing up or having a conversation that we need to have to somebody, or, you know, if somebody's upset us or whatever. And so meditation is about saying, okay, let's live in the present moment. And so meditation is very often following your breath. In mindfulness meditation is about, you know, connecting with your body, because a lot of us, and especially when we have a diagnosis of a shock, we jump out of our body and we're not really in our body. And the thing is to get back in our body and to feel our heart, feel our circulation, you know, be conscious of our breathing, because when we're in our present moment, we cannot be in the past and we cannot be in the future, because the future hasn't happened and the past is the past. And so when you live in the present moment, there is no fear, there is nothing to worry about, because we are conscious of what is happening in the now. And so, you know, asking God for help, but then listening to the answer, because what is the point of asking God for help and then rushing off and not actually taking the time to listen right. to the reply. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense, yes.
So, you know, so we need to quieten our mind and to be in the present moment. And that's, meditation is as simple as that. And when you're doing like 10 minutes or 20 minutes a day, you are practicing and noticing when your mind is going off track, is thinking about the washing up or, you know, the conversation that you need to have with somebody, and go, okay, that isn't relevant now. I'm going to go back to being conscious of my breathing. And that's training the mind to be aware and awake in the present moment. And that is so fundamental to getting rid of fear. And I'll get to the fear bit in a minute, because I think that's such a major factor when we are diagnosed with cancer. We can go into fear. And when we are in fear, we make wrong decisions. We go into panic. And if we can train ourselves to release fear, and there are ways that one can do that. There's lots of different ways, but I'm going to go back to the different chapters of Dr. Kelly's
Journey. Yeah, we'll come back to the fear. Yeah.
So three is following your intuition, is believing in yourself, listening to the reply, listening to what we need to do for ourselves. Four is using herbs and supplements, which I've touched on earlier. And I think you can do that alongside conventional treatment, but it is important to recognize that, see a herbalist so that you make sure that you're not contraindicating any of the medications that you're taking. So five is releasing suppressed emotions, not hanging on to stuff in the past and trauma and stress. And so going to see somebody like Gosha or Fiona or Caroline doing the mindfulness meditation really does help to get rid of baggage. So And then increasing positive emotions. If we've got a positive outlook about the future, the glass being half full and half empty. And again, that's practice, because I think it's very easy to get into a negative state of mind because we are sort of fed the sort of negative aspects of illness, of news, of whatever. And the thing is, switch off the news. And if you've got negative friends, just maybe take time out from people who are negative in one's life and start to look at challenges in our life. There is a silver lining, and we have opportunities, and we in any negative situation is to find the silver lining. There is a silver lining in every single negative situation or challenge. It's like yin and yang. There can't be yin without yang. There cannot be light without dark. So if we look at the dark side all the time and we don't see the sunshine, but I'm going to go back to the chapter. So increasing positive emotions, and then embracing social support. And that I call a sense of belonging, because I think, you can belong to a family, you can belong to a country, you can belong to a group, you can belong to a school, but having that sense of where you belong, because I think that, that comes with the social, being part of a social group, and it's so incredibly important. And that's also very much part of the blue zones is their importance on belonging to a social group, whether it's a WhatsApp group, whether it's a group of friends, but having that social support and sense of belonging is so important.
Mm-hmm. I'll just chime in there for anybody who doesn't know what you're talking about when you say blue zones. This is Dan Budner's originally did the research into this to show that in a few places in the world where people live very long consistently, there are some behaviors they share, some lifestyle that they share, and so he researched what it was. And a social connection is a big part of that.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Chapter 8 is deepening your spiritual connection. And again, you know, I touched on that by saying, you know, we need to, meditation is, if you like, sort of deepening that spiritual connection. Prayer, you might, you know, start to look at a religion in your life if you want a religion or a spiritual way of life. But it's connecting on a daily basis spiritually, whether it's hugging a tree, you know, it's, and whether it's just embracing nature, just really connecting with something greater than ourselves. You know, how did nature get here? It didn't just appear. How did we get here? We didn't just appear. There was something greater than us that is a creator. And that is another important aspect, I think, is we're so busy chasing our tail, paying the mortgage, and losing our creative spark. And I think, you know, going to art classes or doing some dance or gardening or painting or singing, you know, something to address that creative spark within ourselves and to create more happiness in our life. Because I think, you know, life can be quite miserable with everything that's going on at the moment and when you've been diagnosed. And it's about finding happiness and finding joy within that situation, even though it's really tough. You have tough days, but then, you know, embrace the good days and try and be creative. And then chapter 9 is having a strong reason for living. And I think that is also extremely important, having a life purpose. But the thing is, people often say, well, I don't have a life purpose. And I say, well, it doesn't actually matter. But if you start looking for a life purpose, and again, you know, that can materialize as you're going through the cancer journey. Because what cancer does, and I find this, whether you choose the conventional route or whether you choose the complementary or the alternative, is that it stops you in your tracks for at least a year, and it gives you time to think. Mm. It gives you time to look at your life. Do I want to carry on my life the way I was carrying it on? Is that really me? Is there a me that I haven't really found? And so therefore, you know, I think that you don't have to have a life purpose, but you can start to look for one. You can start to look at your life and go, what do I really want? And also, I think one has to make a decision to live or to die, actually. And that was something very, very powerful in my own life, because nobody has a perfect childhood. I mean, I didn't have a perfect childhood. There was a lot of alcohol in my parents' life. And I found that very, very confusing. I also found school, I had dyslexia. I found school very confusing. I thought, you know, they're talking Chinese and I'm talking some other language. I don't know what language they're talking. And so I withdrew as a child massively. And but to the point that I wished I was dead. I know that sounds really sad, but that is the truth. And the thing is, I kind of stumbled through life. I, you know, ended up having addictions and smoking, drinking, you know, the addictions that, you know, one has. And the thing is that that numbed my feelings of, if you like, wishing to be dead. But in very, addictions are actually also like smoking. You know, you can get cancer from smoking, you can get cancer from drinking, you can get cancer from an awful lot of addictive habits. So I was on, if you like, a sort of death path. And right. So when I finally got diagnosed with cancer, interestingly enough, I thought, my goodness, I've got what I wished for.
But right.
I mean, that's a very bizarre thing to say, but it shocked me. And I thought, oh, do I want to live? Do I want to die? You know, you are suddenly in that situation because you just say, because also the other thing is that cancer was in every member of my family. My grandparents died of cancer. My aunts and uncles all died of cancer. My mother had cancer. And it's like, well, you know, I'm going to get it one day, but I never really thought that I would. And I thought, well, I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. But when I did get it, I thought, oh, I didn't actually expect it. And I was 33. And so then a few things had started to happen in my life. And I thought, actually, there's more to live for than I realized. And I began to appreciate life and look at life from point of gratitude. And the interesting thing is about gratitude is that I can't remember the Japanese chap. I think Osaru Moto, I can't exactly remember his name, but he looked at messages in water. And, you know, the interesting thing is he looked at words, saying words to water, and when you froze it and they formed into crystals, how did the crystals manifest? What did the crystals look like? And when you put negative emotion into water, the crystals were very distorted. But when you put positive emotion into the water, positive words into the water, they formed very beautiful crystals. But the most beautiful crystals was gratitude. You know, you'd think it was love, but it was actually gratitude. And I, when I was going through my own cancer journey, I studied with somebody called Dr. Lawrence Lachan, who was the most amazing man, who worked with cancer for 40 years and wrote all these books. And he was really instrumental in helping me to address the emotional side of recovery. And basically, because if you say, well, you can be very grateful for something, but actually gratitude has to be felt in your heart. And the way he said that was you have to every day say it with a friend or write a list. And you have to write a list of everything that you're grateful for until you have a tear in your eye. Now, later on, when I studied Chinese herbal medicine and Chinese medicine, the tears are the fluid of the heart, which is really interesting. So when Dr. Lawrence Hassan said, you know, write a list of everything you're grateful for until you have such emotion about it that you have a tear in your eye, that you are actually then embracing gratitude in your heart. Don't you think that's extraordinary?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you know, try it because it's really powerful. Because we can say, oh, I'm really grateful for this and I'm really grateful for that. But it's just words. But
it's words. You've got to be connected to it.
You've got to be connected to it. And how do you connect to it is you connect to it so that you do it, so that you feel such emotion that you have a tear in your eye, which I think is amazing.
Yeah. So, a reason for living. You know, I think most of us actually go through a lot of life without ever thinking about that too hard. And it's only when push comes to shove and we're up against the wall that we maybe realize that our attachment to being alive is not that strong.
Yeah.
And of course, if you want to get out of a corner like cancer, you need a good, strong desire to be alive and well. It's a very important part of it. kind of underpins, if you like, everything else that you might be doing.
Okay, well, the thing is, the opposite of fear is hope. And Dr. Kelly Turner has written a book called Radical Remission and Radical Hope. And what turned for me my life around was actually getting hope. And the more that you get hope, the less fearful you have, because you focus on all the things that you can do to help your life. And the interesting thing is that all our names have a meaning, and the meaning of my name is hope. Meaning of Nadia is hope.
Okay, didn't know that.
And actually, in many ways, when I recovered from my cancer, my sort of mission in it was really to give people hope, and that's what I try to do here at my retreat in Wales, which is Cwmdu Retreat, which is spelled CWMDU-retreat, is to help give people hope and to help people to connect with nature and just time out from the madness of life and to connect with nature, connect with real water, real plants, and, you know, walking in nature and breathing fresh air.
Well, I think, I was saying at the outset how the focus of integrative medicine for cancer is moving quite rapidly towards less tangible things, on the basis that people are finding out that these kind of underpin everything else. It's not that it's not important, exercise and diet and all the rest of it, but if you're not looking at the things that are underlying this in terms of, say, your relationship to life, how much you want to be here, your connection to nature, your connection to something much bigger than yourself, all those things, if those things are a mess, they're undermining any attempt you make at a more physical level to get well. And I think this is the thing that's, you know, coming to the fore. And you're saying much the same thing, really, in that your retreat that you're offering people is trying to cultivate hope, for example. That's a very intangible thing, but incredibly important. Well, if you don't have it, then you are not even expecting to get well.
Right.
And, these things are crucial to us as human beings, our connection to other people, our connection to nature. These are actually crucial elements of wellness and well-being.
The one thing that I forgot to mention is that I teach at the College of Naturopathic Medicine. Now, all of these things that Dr. Kelly Turner talks about, these nine things, of which there is also a tenth one that she's now realized is exercise, is that the College of Naturopathic Medicine, see, naturopathy teaches you all of these things, but the College of Naturopathic Medicine teaches you about nutrition, it teaches you herbal medicine, there's short courses, long courses, lectures, and they're all over England and actually abroad, but the main school is in Percy Circus in King's Cross, and I really, really, really highly recommend that. That is a way to start learning how to connect with nature, how to connect with herbs and nutrition, and how to cook better, how to cook properly. Yes, I just would like to, put a plug in for the CNM.
A plug for the CNM, yeah right. Basically. Okay,
if
very
you don't
good.
Mind, because
I don't mind at all.
I've been teaching there for 20 years, and I cannot say how important it is to inform yourself of how important it is to live a healthy, happy life using the power of nature.
Mm, excellent.
Which is what naturopathy is all about.
Yep. Okay, well, look, we're going to wrap it up there. Thanks very much indeed, Nadia. It's always an absolute pleasure speaking to someone who's got so much accumulated wisdom to share around. There's no shortage of it there.
Oh, well, Robin, thank you so much. And it's been a real pleasure and a joy talking to you. And I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to talk about it. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Find out more about Nadia and the amazing support she can offer at her Welsh retreat home on her website that she mentioned, cwmduretreat.com. That's spelt CWMDU-retreat.com. Bookings open for our two 2026 Yes to Life conferences, online on the 16th of May and in person on the 26th of September. Our topic this year is Reclaiming Our True Nature, what science is telling us about the impact of psychological, emotional and spiritual factors on survivorship. It's a fascinating topic that deserves the attention of anyone with a diagnosis of cancer, and the lineup of speakers is absolutely world class. The program's been co-designed with Dr. Sam Watts of MindBody Medical and features such luminaries as Dr. Leo Broomboom, Dr. Naisha Winters, Dr. David Hamilton, Raj Jana, James Maskell, and many, many more. In fact, over 20 leaders in the field. Read about all the speakers and explore the full program at conference.yestolife.org.uk. And of course, get yourself early bird seats at either or both events. Great to have you with me today. I'll be back again next week with another expert guest. So do join me again for the next Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. Goodbye.